you, Dr. Brown. First, I want to thank Dr. Brown and the Oak Creek First Baptist Church for hosting this meeting. What a blessing. And anyone who's undertaken a project like this knows what it takes. And we certainly appreciate Dr. Brown and the members of the church. It's good to see so many familiar faces in the audience and friends that we've made over the years. This is a big topic, by the way, this evening, or this afternoon. I'm getting ahead of myself, aren't I? Maybe it's time for me to go to bed. Actually, this is the time of the day that most of us get hypoglycemic. Our sugars start dropping because we ate a couple of hours ago, and all that insulin's been pumped out of our pancreas, and boom, and then we want to go take a nap. So don't go to sleep on me, if you wouldn't. It's called hypoglycemia, if you're not familiar with that term. I know the diabetics that are here will be familiar with it, and some of you have had some problems with that. I've had to hospitalize a few with that also. This is a big topic, and I'll be honest with you, we'll never get through all of my slides. I'm one of those, I never get to the conclusion, so I probably will start with some conclusions before we really get rolling. I got interested in this topic about a year ago because a friend alerted me to a book that came out that has to do with what we're discussing today. It's called Chrislam, How Missionaries Are Promoting an Islamicized Gospel. I had no idea what was going on out in the mission field, and as I've talked to other pastors, I've been shocked to learn they didn't either, because the missionaries coming back from the field were not being honest with them. This is a problem that's been going on some 30 to 40 years, at least. And unbeknownst to you, and unbeknownst to many of us that sat in the pews listening, we weren't aware what was happening. And to be honest with you, I've learned that this is the seed of the emerging church. So this is really going to shock you, I believe, this afternoon, if you're not aware of that. Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. If you would stand for me in honor of God's words. And let's begin in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1. Very familiar text, I know, for most of you. But I think you'll be shocked that it's coming true today. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, heteros gospel, which is not another alos, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of his words. We actually call this Wycliffe Gate, and I don't like to impugn or call anyone to the front. And so I've dropped out some names as I go through this presentation because that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to understand what's happening and how translations are changing around the world. It's going to surprise you. And so my conclusions, as you can see, conclusion number one is the insider movement, that's IM, is bad. That's conclusion number one. And this message is not about Islamophobia, but it does have something to do with our current administration, as most of you are aware, because we have a president in office who is very Islamic, is an Islamic sympathizer. Position number two, conclusion number two, Chrislam is bad. I can't make it any clearer than that. The topic today, Chrislam, C5, is bad. And we'll define C5 and some of these things for you momentarily. It is another gospel, and it's bad. You know the old saying, when you go to buy real estate, you depend on three things, right? Location, location, location. Well, our conclusion here is that it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. So Chrislam is another heteros gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul said that, and that's what they've done. They've perverted the gospel of Christ, and you're going to see why. Pastors and churches in America need to be aware of the IM and quiz missionaries returning from Muslim countries about their position concerning Islamicized translations. Christians, let me just give you this conclusion also. Christians cannot be Muslims. Muslims cannot be Christians. The Quran and the Bible cannot be fused, syncretized into another translation. Christians do not pray that Muslims will be cursed or killed as infidels. We pray that Muslims will come to know the biblical Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There continues to be a distinct trend towards shifting the authority for determining the meaning of a text from the author to the receptor. You know who started that? Nida, Eugene Nida. All of you know that name, I'm certain. His emphasis in creating the technique of dynamic equivalent translation, which is paraphrase translating, which is interpretive translating, was to make the receptor the most important thing in translating. You know as well as I, that's not what God says. God says, my words are the most important thing. So when you translate according to the translation model in the Scripture. And there is a model there, if you're not aware of that also, that most people have not picked up on. When it says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, you know all that too. It's based on Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a literal word-for-word translating. Okay, that's the model in Scripture. And whenever you see being interpreted as in the Scripture, and it occurs, I think, about 20, 22 times, that means being translated as, and there are many places in the New Testament where it gives you the model for translating. So it's not the receptor out there. And my heart goes out to those missionaries who are in the field, who have compassion on the Muslims who are lost and going to hell, and they try to get them to understand who Jesus is by compromising and fusing Christianity with Islam. And number two there, the insider movement, IM, does not want to allow the words of God to offend, thus the removal of key terminology such as Son of God, Father, Son. There continues to be a distinct trend towards shifting the authority for... I told you that, didn't I? I'm sorry. Let me move on past that. I simply do not believe IM is an honest and truthful way to deal with the text of the Quran, because they do try to fuse it. And as I said, we'll see that. After talking with some prominent insider movement leaders, there's a strange mixture of evangelical zeal with American pragmatism and postmodern hermeneutics. See, Americans think whatever works is what we should do. That's pragmatism. And also postmodern hermeneutics, again, goes back to the way they now establish the emerging church and the change in terminology that they use. A pastor is no longer of a church called a pastor. He's called a leader. And they change the name of prayer, and they change the name of biblical text. We cannot make a text to mean whatever we want it to mean, even for the sake of drawing people to Christ. We must be truthful and honest in our witness. And here's a complaint I have. Many of those complaining about Wycliffe and SIL, do you know what SIL is? Summer Institute of Linguistics. It's a branch of Wycliffe Translators. Some of you may not also know that Wycliffe is the number third recipient of funds for translating. Over the years, they've been involved in some 1,500 translation projects. 200 of those have been apparently corrupted. But what I'm complaining about, those writing, for example, in this book, you know what they use? They use the NIV basically as the text that they use to defend their position. That's sad, isn't it? So here are men, they have no idea, and this probably is an educational problem on our part, and thank God for the King James Bible Research Council and the men who began to work in setting this up, trying to get the word out and others educated concerning this problem. But I think that's really sad that here they are tearing down an institution who's done some great work. We all know that. There are great people that have been in the Wycliffe translators. But the problem is they don't understand the critical text issue and the received text issue. And as I said, I'll never get through all this, but here are the three books, Chrislam, How Missionaries are Promoting the Islamicized Gospel that I showed you. And then there's another book, Insider Movements. This is one of the fellows that helped write this book. They're both very good, and this one should be in your library. Incidentally, it's now an e-book, and you can get it off of Amazon. And then Jesus of Christianity and Jesus of Islam, Jeff Morton's book that compares the Jesus of Islam with the Jesus of Christianity. And also what promoted me to touch on this subject, and trust me, I'm no expert. This is foreign territory for me, but I thought it was so important that we needed to take a look at it because we're about in this council defending the proper way to translate, translating, and keeping people alert to problems that are developing around the world. But it's an interest in translating that dates back many years and the publishing, word-for-word translating of the received text in 2008, which is a polemic for the method of translating demonstrated in Scripture, which I just mentioned to you. And then some emails that I've received over the last several years related to the use of Allah in translating, and consultations with Daryl Sutton, acquaintance of ours. Several of the men here in the audience today know Daryl. He's fluent in Arabic, was trained, as you see, in the schools in Turkey, and he served in American embassies in Egypt. I'm hoping Daryl will become a member of the council. I've talked with him several times about some of these issues, but also emails concerning the translation philosophy of Wycliffe translators, and I have one of those I'll show you, and the SIL, Summer Institute of Linguistics, a branch of Wycliffe translators. At SIL, they train translators during the summer on how they feel translation should take place, and they train basically the DE way of translating, dynamic equivalent. Islam, by the way, is the fastest growing religion in the world. You know, for years I've been flying. As a physician, I had to fly to conferences, meetings, to maintain my license. Now, as we fly to come to conferences like this, I'm amazed at the number of Muslims that I see walking through the airports, even compared with what I used to see. It is the fastest growing religions. They're really going into our prisons. But by 2020, in 8 years, the experts in this area tell us that it'll be the largest religion in the world. I think we better know a little something about it. The stimulus for this message also, a former Muslim says this, "What a disgrace to our Christian forefathers who were burned at the stake for the gospel's sake," and I add here in the next paragraph, I would add to clarify the statement, "and for the words of God." Just think of William Tyndale. Think of all the other martyrs down through history who died that we might hold in our hands the preserved word of God that Dr. Brown spoke about. What a blessing, isn't it, to know you can hold the God-breathed words in your hand That just sends chills up and down my spine. But anyway, I spoke three times yesterday, so if my voice goes, somebody else has to come up and read these slides for me, all right? But few know about the insider movement, and most of you know about the Martyr's Mirror. By the way, that's online now. You can download it free yourself or consult it online. And then also Elijah Abraham is a member of Biblical Missiology. Anybody know about Biblical Missiology? They're very involved in confronting Wycliffe about their translation technique method. And living in Oasis ministry, he has been very involved in keeping extreme contextualization out of Muslim outreach ministries and has publicly challenged many organizations that have been involved in the insider movements who use camel. Camel is a method that they're using to witness to Muslims. And we'll cover some of that too. Jesus in the Quran seminars. How many have heard about Jesus in the Quran seminars? There's one in Atlanta a couple of years ago. Hundreds of people there. They're holding these meetings all over the United States now, using the camel method, which we'll talk about. Anyway, also, Elijah Abraham said this in June of 2012. This is hot off the press, and his English is rough because he is, you know, his native language is Arabic. When Wycliffe Bible translators and Muslim idiom translators were exposed to their Muslim-friendly Bible transliteration, Biblical Missiology Fellowship, he put R-E-S-I-N, but he meant was resigned to determine to challenge them and Frontiers Missions, who are also guilty of such projects. As a result, he goes on to say, many national churches from around the world have condemned such translations, including but not limited to Turkish, Pakistani, Italian, and Jordanian. They reject such translation that takes terms such as Father, Son from the Trinity. And he went on to say, the Church of Jesus Christ is facing the greatest challenge since the resurrection of our Lord, which is Islam. It's the fastest growing religion in the world. If you haven't seen these videos, now I know some of you here have, you need to write J. Smith's down and go to Vimeo.com and try to copy these numbers right fast. If not, they'll be on the website. You need to watch Legacy's video. J. Smith is a well-trained man who's very erudite, but again, he uses the modern versions, which bothers us greatly, but you have to take the meat and leave the bones sometimes. And in this case, we just have to do that. But you'll be benefited by watching these videos. He's very erudite, as I said, and very learned. He knows the Quran backwards and forward. Therefore, he can argue with or present a case to a Muslim and lead them to Christ much easier because he's so familiar with the Quran. The Quran, maybe you don't know, has a lot of conflicts in it, a lot of false statements. And we've learned just recently the Germans have discovered where most of the Quran came from. How many are aware of where the Quran came from? Nag Hammadi, the Gnostic writings. They simply just copied that into the Quran. That was a shock to me also. Because most of you know that supposedly Muhammad received it, and he was illiterate, of course, and could not write it down. Therefore, he dictated it to someone else, and they recorded it for him. But now they have identified most of the Quran and where it came from. Nag Hammadi, that's a city in Egypt, and they found a big pot there with a lid on the top, and inside that were the Gnostic writings. They even have large Gnostic meetings now in the United States. But that's mostly where the Quran has came from. And here are the five pillars of Islam. Some of you may not know this. The Shahada is the Islamic creed that's always repeated in the Salat. Salat being prayers, the daily prayers, five times a day generally, before dawn, noon, afternoon, evening, and then at bedtime. That's the Salat. But here's what they say. There's no God but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this, and they're taught from birth all the way up that the Christian Bible is corrupted. And when our people then take our American people that we've given money to, take our money and then set up translation projects where they then corrupt the, truly corrupt it, by translating many words incorrectly, then they give them, the Islamists, evidence that they are corrupted. But just, Bobby, where are you? Thank you for that message. I just told him that this is, they claim that, for example, what he was talking about, Jehovah versus Yahweh, they claim that the Christian Bible has mistranslated the Tetragrammaton all those many times in the Bible, and that's evidence of their corruption. Just one evidence, all those thousands of times, that it should be Yahweh and not Jehovah. Well, Dr. Adam just proved that's not the case. And almsgiving, the zakat, number three here, that's a requirement. It's a tax, really. And if you don't pay it, they kill you. Simple as that. And then the fourth one is the fasting during Ramadan. I believe that's coming up very shortly, where they all fast, or it just took place. And then the pilgrimage to Mecca, the Hajj. And they have to do that at least once in a lifetime. Go to Mecca. This shocked me. And I sent it to a few people, and they actually put it on my Facebook page. President of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, performing the Salat. Look what he says. O Allah, destroy the Jews and their supporters. Well, you know what God said in Genesis chapter 12? And we're supporters of Israel, or at least we're supposed to be. I'm not sure about this administration. But destroy, and we're giving them billions of dollars. Isn't that correct? A former Muslim says this, hate is the pinnacle of worship in Islam. He got saved, and he's writing these kind of things now, okay? And by the way, I give you the sources in the notes. So when we put up the PDF, there's a little icon, if you don't know this, on a PDF that you can click on, and it will drop down the notes underneath these. See that? See the note underneath there? Those will be there and tells you where that reference is. Let me see if I can get my slides back. So what is the ritual prayer, the Salat? Salah means the one prayer whenever it takes place, an H on the end. But if it has a T on the end, it's plural. In the ritual prayer, Muhammad is invoked, is not invoked. The name of Allah is invoked. Do they not pronounce a curse on the Jews and the Christians, he said? Just what Morsi was doing. No Islamic prayer can be complete without pronouncing a curse on all the Jews, and particularly the Christians. Can this be contextualized? And we'll learn, hopefully this afternoon, what contextualization is. I had to have my mind changed on that. I thought it was the way we translated the words from one language into another language group so that it was understandable to that language group. That's not necessarily so. Contextualization also involves how you dress, whether you grow a beard or not grow a beard. All those things are part of the contextualization that missionaries have to consider when they go into an Islamic country. But the former Muslim says, well, I read that to you. And number six, Chrislam is an attempt to syncretize, fuse Christianity with Islam, called the Insider Movement. So if you haven't heard of the Insider Movement, you've heard of it this afternoon. You need to quiz your missionaries concerning this, where they stand on these issues. And someone who is in the Insider Movement, simply called an insider. While it is Chrislam, this is a quote, began in Nigeria in the 1980s to avoid persecution. And we do have to have some sympathy with them, don't we? You go into those countries, There are a number of things that if you do them incorrectly, you can be killed for it. So our missionaries going into those areas, they were severely persecuted. As a result of that, they, of course, began to develop this idea that perhaps there's a way to fuse Christianity and Islam to make it acceptable not only to America, but to the Muslims and lead some to Christ. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not persecuted very severely, except everybody calling me names for writing some of my books. But you expect that. That's not really bad persecution. If somebody's looking with a sword to cut your head off, that's a very different story, isn't it? And oikos, those of you who know a little Greek, and I don't know much, but oikos means house. That's a very important concept in the Islamic culture. Therefore, it's very difficult for someone who is being led to Christ to accept Christ and confess it openly because they lose their oikos, their house. That means their entire family, their culture, their nation. Plus, the fact that they could be killed. And he went on to say, Islamic ideas in the middle here of the paragraph, see if I can write up here, the essential concept of Chrislam is that Christianity and Islam are compatible, that one can be a Christian and a Muslim at the same time. This has affected translating tremendously, and it's called Wycliffe Gate. Benghazi Gate, you know what, when we add gate, what do we mean by that? Benghazi Gate, so now we're at Wycliffe Gate. Means Benghazi lie, sure. So now we're at Wycliffe Gate. And the reason I say that is because Wycliffe is claiming one thing, but the missionaries in the field actually involved in the translation process who have come out are saying something entirely different that's conflicting with what Wycliffe is saying. So we have a Wycliffe Gate that's taking place in our nation. And this is a quote, Chrislam is not an actual religion of its own, but rather is a blurring of the differences and distinctions between Christianity and Islam. I actually don't agree with that. It is another religion. It is another gospel. And of course, what they do is add in things that makes it a works religion. Other than Christianity, all the other religions in the world that I've ever looked at are works religions. You have to do something to get to heaven. And when you add in the five pillars of Islam, and if you don't perform them, then of course you're not going to go to heaven. And they're taught this from little children. They're also taught from the little children that Christians have corrupted their entire Bible. And here we are giving them evidence by translating. Anyway, he goes on to say, while it is undeniable that there may be many similarities between Christianity and Islam, and Judaism for that matter, Chrislam ultimately fails because Christianity and Islam are diametrically opposed in the most important issues, and they are. When it comes to the deity of Christ, when it comes to the Father, when it comes to the Trinity, and many other issues, we are just like this between Islam and Christianity. Here's another quote. Chrislam has gained significant momentum since the seed was planted nearly three decades ago. I told you about that. But this actually, I think, as a result of Eugene Nida and some of the men who followed him, after him, and their translating technique started causing men to reassess how they were approaching leading people to Christ in these other language groups, not just Islam, Arabic, but also Hindu and what's some of the other? Indian. They're all considering now changing the words that we've received to make it agreeable or acceptable by those language groups. So it's spreading. That's why you need to be aware of that. Did you read this? Earlier this year, Christian communities in Dallas, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and other cities place Korans in church pews right alongside Bibles, and preach about the prophet Muhammad, who practiced genocide. I think most of you know this. Abused women. I don't know why the women everywhere around this world aren't rising up in with great voices and complaining about the Sharia law that some judges in this country are already beginning to honor in their abuse of women. And we know that the Prophet Muhammad was illiterate, was a polygamist, and performed no miracles as a prophet does. And they consider him, of course, the greatest prophet, that he is the final line of prophets who gave the final words of God to us. That's the Quran. President Obama says the future doesn't belong to those who slander Muhammad. I hope you got your voting pen out and you're ready. Okay, next week. A quote, in his speech before the United Nations on September the 25th, 2012, U.S. President Barack Obama made the following amazing statement. The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. This would mean that Obama believes that Muhammad was a true prophet of God and that Islam is the truth and thus unreprovable, which is exactly what Muslims believe. Just put that to bed and think about that for a minute. There are four holy books in Islam. The Torah, which you see the similarity to the Torah, so they believe the Torah, and they've incorporated much of the examples in the Torah into their holy books. And the Zabur, the Psalms are wisdom, and the Injil, which is the gospel, and the Quran. Al-Quran, you know what Al is in Islam? It's thee. It's always thee. So when you see Al, just substitute thee there. And that means, the Al-Quran means the reading. Those who study the Quran carefully point out numerous conflicts in the text. I mentioned that to you. Muslims believe that the Quran is the final word of Allah. So you see the A-L there, Allah. That's A-Ilah, really, is what it comes from. That means the God. Now, that it was given by revelation to Muhammad and later written down by others because Muhammad was illiterate. Don't ever forget that. The only miracle attributed to Muhammad is that he was able to recite the sacred book, the Quran, that was given by revelation to him, even though he was illiterate. But now we know, as I told you, most of that was copied from the Gnostic books, from Nag Hammadi. And this is an email to me from an acquaintance in February of 2012, of this past year, because of my interest. And she wrote, Wycliffe has gone completely into heresy. Muslim-friendly Bible is coming off the press. The friend said, that's the title, that's the subject. And the friend said to me, this is a reply from a friend of mine who knows blank blank. I'm not going to give you his name. Who is either head or very high up in Wycliffe translators. He is the head of Wycliffe translators. I had sent my friend an email about Wycliffe Bible translators' supposed rewording of a Bible translation to suit Muslims. I would be glad to hear what you think of this explanation. Cheers. And, of course, you can imagine what I told her. But this is Wycliffe's response to those kinds of emails. I know the guy who started this internet madness about them not translating properly. He's long been an opponent of what we refer to as meaningful translation. Can I substitute something there for you? Dynamic equivalent translating. W.T. Wycliffe has used the C.T. and D.E. The director goes on and said he can't get people to listen to him regarding his approach to less than meaningful translation. That means no word-for-word translating. It's got to be DE translating to make it acceptable to the Islamists. So he resorted to lies. That's his accusation. And here's the website where they posted all of these things. You can go there and read it yourself. The response is a denial that Wycliffe removed Son of God and Father. You catch that now? It's a denial that they do that. This is from the Orlando Sentinel, Orlando, Florida. Wycliffe has squandered time and resources coming up with this fact sheet. Instead, it could have used the time to answer questions pertaining to the estimated 200 of the 1,500 Bible translations completed by Wycliffe since it started in 1917. That's quite an accomplishment, isn't it? Currently disputed for not translating Father, Son, or Son of God accurately, the fact sheet seems to be a visionary tactic and largely irrelevant to the current controversy. The use of Allah for God was not a part of the biblical missiology's online petition. Now read that carefully with me. The use of Allah. A lot of people around the world who are translators and trying to do the best job they can are really getting attacked for using Allah in any translation. Now, some of you are going to be really mad at me about this, but it simply means the God. Now, I know some believe it's related to the moon god, the false god, a deity, but to be honest with you, that's really what it means, and it's been around before Islam ever came into existence. Now, that's a fact. That's from, not from me now, this is from people who are experts in this area. It's not just me. Therefore, what this petition says is they're not accusing them of using Allah. What they're accusing them of is removing Father and placing Allah in place of Father. I want you to understand that. That's very important. Another issue is substituting Messiah for Son. While clearly Messiah in the Quran is a created being. I think you know that. Some of you have delved into Islam a little bit, and you probably know that. Here's another missionary's comment. I've been in Turkey for 27 years, and I don't know any Turkish pastor or believer that likes this translation. This is the Wycliffe translation in Turkey. On the contrary, I'm also a pastor, and I can say that I know every pastor and everyone I know are upset with this translation. Rather than changing the meaning of biblical terms and give reason to those Muslims who accuse Christians of adulterating the scriptures, why not simply put a footnote to clarify that father does not refer to a biological father? See, that's their reasoning. They think when they see son of God or father, there was some sexual relationship that took place. And that's, again, what they're taught from a child on up. And that, of course, is just contrary to everything the Islamists believe. But for me, the worst thing he says in this translation is that this Matthew, the book of Matthew, started with a quote of the Quran, and that the translation is full of footnotes with quotes of the Quran as if it was the highest authority to decide what is true and what is false. Now, this is a Turkish pastor who got saved. You know, I hope you understand what he's saying here. How am I doing, Pastor Dave? Am I? Okay. Now, Wycliffe's response, add a little more to this, in response to the mounting criticism, by the way, they said they wouldn't address the criticism until the man in the pew rose up. Catch that? They would not address this problem of criticism of their way of translating until the man in the pew, the backlash, got big enough. Well, here's what happened. In response to the mounting criticism, the translators are catering to Islamic influences in Muslim societies. Wycliffe has agreed to undergo an external audit of its translation processes. So what do you do as a pastor sometimes when you just don't want to answer a question right then? You appoint a committee, don't you? Appoint a committee. And that's exactly what they did. A panel of global translation experts assembled by WEA, who will critique the translation practices of Wycliffe to determine whether they have left out the theology in favor of cultural and linguistic clarity. The report is out, by the way, in 2013. You need to keep your eye on Wycliffe's site. That'll be a big report. The man in charge is here. It's Dr. Robert E. Cooley at the bottom there, chairman of Wycliffe and SIL Review. And a lot of people are clamoring to see their final conclusion from these experts, but you know, I'm a little bit hesitant to say I accept someone pointing somebody to review me, and I'm paying them to do that. It's a little bit suspicious, isn't it? This is a quote from Wycliffe translators and SIL. Good translation does not simply take the words of a text in one language, like English, and find those words in another language. I bitterly disagree with this, because this is where we fail in so many translations around the world. We do need to do that. That's what formal equivalent translating is. Finding a noun for a noun, a verb for a verb, adjective for an adjective, as closely as you can, depending on the syntax of that language. Some languages don't even have adjectives, as you are aware. Both because of differences in meaning words influenced by culture and context, and because of differences in grammatical structures of language. Some languages are really difficult, especially in South America. I'm not going to read all this. This is really long. But this is an accusation by a missionary in the field that you can read later who absolutely contradicts what Wycliffe is saying. He was on the committees and familiar with what was going on in the committees, and they did have men on the translating committees who were doing that. So it's Wycliffe Gate. They are not doing back translations, incidentally, of Muslim-sensitive Bibles associated with SIL and WT, and Arabic translations of the Gospels and Acts associated with Wycliffe translators reveals otherwise, that they are not doing their back translations, in other words, and checking their translations through someone who's independent. According to Joshua Lingual of I2 Ministries, I2 Ministries is another site you probably would benefit going to. They're responsible, really, for producing this book. Over 20 authors in that book. Even more dramatic a change is the Arabic and Bangladesh translations in Arabic. Bible translations err again by translating Father as Lord, Guardian, Most High, and Allah. In Bangla, Son of God is mistranslated Messiah of God, consistent with the Quran's Isha al-Mashi, Jesus the Messiah, which references the merely human Jesus. I guess some of you know that in the Quran, Jesus is a created being. He is not the eternal God. And here's some examples for you. And we'll quickly go through these. In Matthew 5:16, Father. And in the Muslim compliant translation, God, your supreme guardian. Matthew 5:45, children of your Father, guardians of God. See, they don't want Father there, again, because the Muslims believe there's a sexual connotation there. Matthew 5:48, your Father which is in heaven, your God Most High which is in heaven. Luke 4:3, Son of God, there underlined, Messiah the Most High God. John 12:23, Son of God, Prince of Flesh. This is an actual translation now. Matthew 28:19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, cleanse them by water in the name of Allah, his Messiah, and his Holy Spirit. That's the translation. And there are many other examples. I could go on. There are hundreds. And I'd like to, because you would be amazed. There's Bangladesh, if you don't know where Bangladesh is. I know Dr. Ziner's been all over this area. How long ago were you in Miramar, brother? How long ago were you over there? Year? Year and a half? And here's Indonesia. As you can see, this is where a lot of the bad translations are taking place. There's Malaysia, that same area of the world. But it's not just these areas now. I want to make that very clear. And this is one of the translators. This is Malawi. Let me just escape this for a minute. Mazar Malawi, a Syrian Arab novelist and writer. Okay, that's what he is, who was involved in the translation of one of the Muslim-compliant translations. This is what he says. Malawi's translation committee included at least one prominent Arabist in Wycliffe International who strongly objected to translating Son of God directly into Arabic. During my encounter with the translation, I was told the WBT, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and Summer Institute of Linguistics has no intention of putting removal by substitution methods into print. But SIL's director, I took his name out, articles on the topic are used as justification for putting such translations into print. WBT are very much involved in the print production of Muslim-friendly translations. There's Wycliffe Gate. Wycliffe International people should cease from making claims contrary to truth. Somebody is lying, therefore Wycliffe Gate. And there's the website if you want to check out his statements. And the purpose of this message is to help all of us in America, particularly in independent fundamental Baptist churches, become aware of the tremendous influence that the insider movement is having on translating in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has become another gospel. To help us understand the negative influence IM has on interpretation and conceptualization of the Bible, translations of the inspired, preserved words of God, the syncretism of beliefs that has developed, and most importantly, at the bottom there, IM's influence on the development of the emerging church in America and the worldwide philosophy of postmodernism. This is the seed. This is where it came from. It was taking place under our noses, and we didn't know it. The insider movement is also known. You need to be familiar with Eastern C5, Messianic Islam, and Movements to Christ. And here's where that comes from. This is C5 defined. And we won't go through all of them, but look at C5. This is the insider movement. Christ-centered communities of Messianic Muslims who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So it's Christ-centered communities that stay in the Muslim religion. They actually attend the mosque. They actually participate in the salat, the prayers. That's what they're doing, okay? And there's a bunch of additional terms. We don't have time to go over them. You want to be aware of Common Ground conferences that are taking place all over this nation. It's very similar. They also produce a statement that's very similar to the Evangelicals and Catholics Together document. Came out a few years ago that Chuck Colson, Richard Land, Bill Bright, and J.I. Packer signed. Well, Yale University and Rick Warren have now participated in another one of these type things that is approving what's taking place amongst the insider movement. I'll let you review those later. Here's the CAMEL method I told you about, the acronym for CAMEL. The Chosen, which is, by the way, the Quran says that Mary was chosen for Allah for a special purpose. It was announced by angels, the A. The angels announced the birth of Messiah to Miriam. But by the way, Miriam was impregnated by Gabriel in the Quran. And miracles, Jesus' power is revealed in his miracles. See, they're very concerned about miracles in the Islamic culture. That's why they use this CAMEL method. And then EL, eternal life, Jesus knows the way and is the way to heaven. That doesn't seem too bad, and it's not all that bad if it's rightly presented. Obviously, this acrostic is one of the sources for the method's name, the other being the legend. There are 99 names of God in the Quran. And the camel knows the 100th name of Allah, they're taught. T.A. McMahon said, Chrislam, that attempt to combine Christianity and Islam in a common worship service would be a bad joke if it were not a joking matter, but it's far from it. It's actually taking place. And this is very important. They're not dumb. The Islamists are not dumb, and they realize that these translations are just false. Christians realize they're false. So when you get down to it, We all realize they're not right, so why is it still taking place? Doesn't make sense, does it? It's blasphemy, really. George W. Bush and Christians, Jews, and Muslims all worship the same God. You know he said that. And Rick Warren's reference to Isha, the name of Jesus in the Quran, the Muslim name for Jesus in his prayer at the inauguration of President Barack Obama. Did all of y'all catch that? I think most of you probably did. I did, and I was shocked when I heard it. And this, of course, is an insider in favor of IM. He's making these statements and saying that, see, these things, your president believes these things. Why don't you? Why can't you go along with this? Well, it's another gospel. That's why we can't go along with it. By the way, Jack Van Ippe's stand on this got him booted off of TBN after 23 years of preaching and teaching on that station. At least Jack was right on that. What is shocking, the insider movement is related to the changes that produce the emergent church. Please don't forget that. I've mentioned it several times now. And here's some expressions for you. The insider's movement on the expressions in the emerging church. Narrator or leader is the pastor. It's no longer pastor. The church is called the community. Spirituality is called activism. And prayer is quietism. That's just some. I have a whole bunch of others, but that's just some of the words that are changing in the emerging church. And don't think this is, I'm sure all of you know, from Washington, D.C. to Washington State, the emerging church is showing up in all the cities. And by the way, if you look at the map of the major cities, the Muslims are building mosques around every major city. That's their aim, is to encircle every major city with mosques. You can look at a map and you can determine that. The Jesus of Islam in the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus was a created being in the Quran, like Adam. That's the way they view it. It says that in one of the surah means book in our chapter. You know, chapter. Some of you are familiar with this. And ayah, or I, they say I 59. Ayah is verse. So surah, what, 4, ayah 59. That's chapter so and so, and then verse so and so. And here's how IM is described by the insiders. Missionary methods of contextualizing the gospel for Muslims. And here it is. Hindus, Buddhists, or other religions. Not just Islam. IM is fusing, mixing, and changing, subtracting, and adding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that it is not perceived as offensive. If you don't challenge someone that he's a sinner and needs to repent, wow. By the way, some say it's a strategy for church planting. This is not true because the insiders tell us no churches are actually planted or started. Now, I was corrected on that by someone recently. I was talking to him about it, who has a bunch of friends in Egypt, talking about the Coptic Christians there. But those of you who are aware of what happened at the embassy there in Egypt recently, the Coptic Christians actually came and attacked our embassy, allegedly because of this false movie. And they said they would not participate, Coptic Christians would not participate in anything that brought shame on the name of Muhammad. Churches are not being planted. I'm sorry to make you depressed today, but truth is truth. Here's what contextualization really is and should be, which is the translation of the unchanging content of the gospel into verbal form, word for word, meaningful to peoples in their separate cultures. We don't start changing our translations to please another culture. Insiders consider churches as cultural creations, by the way. Let me just say this to you again. We're running out of time, so you can look at some of these other points. This is very important. IM is really a Hegelian dialectic. You know, that's the old argument, two opposites together, and you argue the point and come to a compromise. That's really what has happened. That's where this comes from. I want to show you these circles. This is their major emphasis in their whole concept of the church and of the Bible. They say the main emphasis in the Bible is the kingdom of God, that the church is not really what the emphasis is in the Bible. You know what Jesus said about his church? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what they're saying is that we need to forget the church. It's a cultural thing. Now, I'm not just making this up. This is true. And therefore, Islam is a way into the kingdom of God. And one missionary who was in the Insider movement for 30 years and came out of it says it's all just propaganda. And it is. When you start thinking this way, that's universalism, isn't it? Insiders are secretive, by the way. When missionaries are coming back, they often give you stats that aren't correct. This isn't me again speaking. These are others who are coming back. They give you false information about what's actually taking place in those countries, about the number of churches they've established and set up. You need to have eyes and ears. Go out and check on your missionaries. That's why I believe boards are important. They speak of Christ-centered as opposed to church-centered. Let's throw the church out. Church is just a cultural thing, primarily in America. We don't need churches in our country. We need to be Christ-centered, which is seductive, isn't it? Insiders denigrate the biblicist assertion that all non-Christian religions are either mankind's rebellious attempt to find their own way, works, or the result of demonic activity. Insiders who have come, or those who have been in Islam and have come out, tell you that Islam is very full of demonic activity. Be aware of demitude, the power structure of Muslims over a culture to control religions within a government. It is really a state religion, and this is why they are constructing the mosque around the cities here in America. They are going to try to take over America, and some of the imams are saying that. RT, when you hear TRRT, what do you immediately think of? Textus Receptus, receive text. Well, when you see TR by an insider, they're talking about the theology of religion, those circles. That's their theology. So be careful when you hear an insider talk about TR. All right, I see Dr. Brown is headed this way. Here it is. Quran says, Surah chapter 3, I want you to read this. The similitude of Jesus before Allah is as that of Adam. It's just exactly what I was telling you. Jesus is a created being. He's not God incarnate. He's a created man. Many other things we could talk about this afternoon, but I hope that gives you some insight. I'm not an expert. I'm not a missionary to those areas, but I think we all need to be aware of what's happening so that we can use our money wisely, since a lot of us are having a little trouble in that issue. Thank you so much for your attention.